You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Reminder, your team made 10 game-changing plays yesterday, which means your game-changer multiplier is 11 times today only at Horseshoe Casino Cleveland. Make sure you get to Horseshoe today to redeem your game-changer multiplier. That's a run of 10 or more yards, a pass of 20 or more yards, and a turnover. The Browns dominated the chunk play category against Houston, but did not dominate the score. 23-7, they fell. We're going to get some sound from after the game yesterday, hear from the head coach, from the quarterback, Joe Hayden, Paul Kruger. But first, let's go to Bruce in Garfield. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
How are you?
All right. Hey, you know what? It was a couple of things that stood out to me in that game. You know, Correll, as good as he is, he just appears to have small hands. And you guys tell me what you think about that. Also, you know, I kept seeing them, and maybe it was just me. They kept running over there to watch side. Hey, man, you know, if that guy is that good, run the opposite way. I don't know why they didn't have, you know, audibles to switch the play to the opposite side. And the last thing I got to say is, you guys always emphasize that the NFL season is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
Having said that, we got six games left, okay? We're in the last 6 miles of this marathon. I say from this point on, like you guys were saying earlier, get me a running back in there, keep him in there for the entire game, and give him a win whenever he needs one, okay? Other than that, you know, I'm still not off the bandwagon. I'm still, you know, thinking that, you know, we can have a real productive season, but you know, we got to have these things moving forward. And also, we got to have these guys remember that it's a privilege. You guys know it. You guys know it's a privilege to be in the NFL. There's guys like myself that work all day that would, if we had the athletic ability and whatnot, we would kill to make the money that they have.
Right on, brother.
Okay? And it is a privilege, you know. And if you're not playing or if you are playing, it's a privilege to be there when your number's called. Be ready to get in there. But we gotta sprint. Let's take it, man. Let's go on and see where it's going to take. Guys, have a good day.
Thank you. I thought some good point. I don't know. Crow's hands, I have never heard anything about the size.
No, and I think it's also
hands.
Very hard to see, you know, from the TV perspective, unless you've shaken his hands or taken a measuring tape to his hands. It's
I
hard to tell.
I have shaken his hand. I've never felt that they were small.
We talked about it earlier. When it comes to his hand size, listen, the only way to protect the ball is to go back to the very
use
basic.
Both of them.
Use both of them, like you said, and protect that ball. It stays high and tight. You have no room for error, so therefore you're not swinging the ball around trying to find the hole and get comfortable. It's not about looking sweet. It's about taking care of the ball. So he's not good enough right now to look sweet. Tote the ball, two hands on the rock, and when you get it
right.
High and tight, do the old Tiki Barber. Go back and watch that film and watch the difference. He didn't turn the ball over for some 200 runs in a row.
I recall that.
I mean, it was a big difference. But, you know, I want to say one more thing, too, on his J.J. Watt point, which is a great point. But J.J. Watt is a guy that has so much speed and energy that a lot of times a guy like him will come straight up field and you can run underneath him. Matt, would you agree with that?
I do agree. And I think in some cases it was Kyle Shanahan and this offensive line's way of saying, we don't care who you are or where you line up or how good you are. We're prepared for you, and we're going to run at you or around you or underneath you, to your point. And it's just, again, great player, make great game, great plays. And I think it's our ability to adjust on the run or adjust at halftime when you've run at him multiple times and he makes the play 3-4 yards deep that you deviate. But to his other point about the marathon that we always talk about, he is absolutely right. We will run out of football games if we don't start to win again. We have never lost a football or two games in a row, as you've said multiple times today, Nathan. So this is the time where, again, and we were we're at a jogging pace through the middle portion of this football season, but now is the time where we're going to get some weapons back offensively, where we can't have offensive struggles, because when our offensive struggles, we've only seen once, maybe twice, where our defense has stepped up and saved us with turnovers or stops. So this is the time right now where I look for offensively Brian Hoyer to regain his accuracy, regain his confidence, the run game to get established, and use our weapons, which we'll be receiving back in Josh Gordon and potentially Jordan Cameron, to exploit some weaknesses of another team's defense and use them to our advantage.
What did you think about his final comment, though? And because it's so tough, I think, to talk about effort. You don't know what somebody's going through. You don't know how healthy they are or are not. But was that? Do you think that's what he was intimating at with that comment, that it's a privilege to play in the NFL and you should be bringing it every single time?
I do. And I think there's players that we've already spoken about, and there's players that I'm sure fans identify throughout a football game, or in some cases football games, that they don't feel are living up to their potential or living up to their salary. And they're identifying that, and that is his best way of saying, hey, guys, let's crank it up. Six more football games, you know, and your season can be over, or your season can be extended, which is why you play this football game. You don't play it. Some guys may play it for money, but I think that kind of, those guys come and go. The guys that play the game for the love and play it to be a part of a team and something special are the ones that stay in this league a long time and have the stories post career, like you or I, to go back to the great players and teams that we were a part of.
The reality too is there's only 16 games in that season, and you're not guaranteed all 16 of those games. You can have an injury like a Carlos Dansby, miss four of them. God forbid it's something worse to somebody else down the road, and you lose a career after it. So your hope would be, when you step out on that football field, you are living a childhood dream. You should fly around. J.J. Watt, I get excited watching that guy. I don't even know
love
anything
it.
About
how can you not?
Other
yeah.
than the play. Like, man, that guy, that'd be fun to go out there and fly around on that field, not only in the game, but in practice and warm-ups and all that. You could tell that that's that guy's M.O. He's got that name on the back. People know who he is. And he's going to live up to that hype, and I think he's doing that. And he's right, man. There's a lot of people that work around these parts and throughout America that, you know, make ends meet, working really, really tough jobs. So you would hope when you do have the opportunity to show up on a Sunday and put on a helmet, regardless of what team you're playing for, man, you fulfill that dream and you go out there and play and represent not only your team but your family and the name on the back of that jersey.
Absolutely right. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey. Chevy, how you doing today?
Good. I want to welcome Joe back. Here we go.
Thank you.
I think that the subtle things in the game decide games. And what about Anthony Weaver, the D-line coach? I felt as if the Texans were getting away with holding. They had guys wrapped around the shoulder pads. They didn't get a call, so the coach O'Brien basically out-coached Weaver because Weaver never said anything. He never told his players, hey, twist, you know, show the ref that they're holding you. And I also like to say that certain guys did step up. We're learning who our core is, Hayden, Hawk, Kurtzy, Mingo. And even I liked Lanning, the way he complained that, didn't have a chance to block the kick, but tried to roll on his leg. And that's what we got to do. We got to start complaining more when our players get hurt and other teams go after our players. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it as always there. Yeah, and I thought Dante Whitner was flying around yesterday, really trying to make plays. But, you know, again, the Texans ran the ball 54 times. That's the most any team has run the football in the game this year in the NFL, over 200 yards against the Browns, and you're not going to win any games when those stats are against you there. Let's go to Linwood in Cleveland now. Linwood, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Could be better, Linwood. Could be better.
Yeah, you're right about that. Listen, I want everybody to just calm down and relax, like old boy Green Bay said, because here's the deal, man. In essence, we're new all over again. This is the best collection of guys that we've had since 1999. We got a rookie head coach. We got a brand new assistant coaches and whatnot, and probably 75 to 80% new players. So no matter how much we lament, it's going to take the process time. That's what it's going to take. And as far as our quarterback is concerned, he's new also. This is his actual first opportunity to be a real starter somewhere. He can't do nothing but get better. So if the team keeps continuing to grow together, we'll have a championship organization in no time.
I agree with your take, Linwood, and I think you talk about the best collection of talent, and as we just heard from Chevy, and if we spoke, you know, so much as we have through this show, we're talking about players that are not playing to their potential. They may have talent, but they're not playing to their potential, and in my eyes, they're not a piece of this puzzle. But I do believe that we have a great collection of talent, and also two young talent as well, that moving forward we can build with. And I'm not even singling out one position or another. That's top to bottom. There are guys that want to be a part of the Cleveland Browns this season and next season and beyond, that play like a Brown week in, week out. And there's guys that don't. And those guys may be the shortcomings that are keeping us from being as good as we can this season, but they'll be gone, and we'll find more talent or guys that want to come here and dig into the culture and play like a football Brown and move forward and be a part of something special in the years to come.
That's the nature of the beast.
Yep.
We all know that, listen, there's guys that play, there's guys that don't want to play, there's all kinds of things that happen, and those guys always get weeded out because, Nathan, you and I were talking during the break, man, the eye in the sky does not lie. There's practice film. They probably break down film in the hallways just to see how guys interact with each other. I mean, you're always being scrutinized when you play part and you're part of an NFL team. I mean, everything that you do is under scrutiny. So you better do it to the best of your capabilities or not. They're going to bring some, or they'll bring in somebody else that's going to do it.
That's going to do it. It's exactly right. And again, let's just remember that I know this doesn't feel good and it was disappointing and you wanted the win at home to get 7-3. But here the Browns are, still 6-4 in 10 games. Haven't had Josh Gordon all year. You've really been kind of manufacturing it on offense. A lot of injuries mounting up on both sides of the ball, as they are with every team. But nonetheless, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season we'd be 6-4 after 10 games, I think we all would have signed up for that. This was just disappointing because it came probably the Browns' worst performance on the heels of arguably their best performance just last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. We told you we're going to get you some sound from inside the locker room after last night's game. We'll start with the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, offering up no excuses.
You know, disappointing to get us to have the momentum and a little bit of time off. It's disappointing to come out and play that way. But I told the guys we won't be a team that makes excuses. I mean, we got beat soundly today, and in all three phases, they made a lot more plays than we did.
Yeah, Coach Pettine there talking about no excuses, and we talked about it all show. They got out physical. They lost a turnover battle, something that we've hung our hat on defensively in recent weeks, and also too, we were not efficient on third down. And the one other question that we've had is that a lot of people probably had seeing an Isaiah Crowell run out of the tunnel. We're going to hear from Coach Pettine here talk about why Crowell got the start yesterday.
Well, we weren't going to just not play him because we felt he had lost, I think, one fumble before that. He had dropped a couple pitches, but that wasn't anything defensively on it. That he was a guy that we felt we wanted to give the start. And you know the fumble was unfortunate. I mean, it was just one of those. The guy was running across and made a heck of a play, punching it out. But you know, I thought there were a bunch of runs. Isaiah ran pretty hard.
He does run hard. He finished the day averaging 4.4 yards a carry, 16 total touches, 91 total yards on the day for Isaiah Crowell. And I think the matchup back in Atlanta, if you think about next week, that's where he's from, down there in Georgia. He's going to be in that dome on that fast track. I think he could have a monster game against a very soft Atlanta Falcons front if he gets an opportunity there. Josh Gordon back to work today. That's the best news on this Monday. Mike Pettine talked about the impact of his star receiver's return.
I mean, this is a player that's missed probably it's probably around 75, 80 days and 10 games in a preseason game. I mean, it's a significant amount of time not having contact and being apart. I mean, it's a I just don't know if you walk back in and are able to be functional. So it's we'll see where he is on Monday and plan accordingly as the week goes on.
Joe, maybe you can touch upon this. How does is a Hawkins, a Gabriel, and a Miles Austin, who have been a great receiving core thus far this season, how they're not going to have any haste towards a Josh Gordon coming back into that room and taking reps away, because I believe in some cases he's going to open up opportunities for those guys, is he not?
They're going to smile is what they're going to do. I mean, you have a guy that defenses are going to they're going to focus on him now. There's no question about it. This guy's going to see double coverage. You're going to have guys over the top. And if you're a receiver worth your weight, you're going to be able to exploit the defense. You're going to be able to do your job one-on-one. You're going to be able to find holes. Things are going to become that much more easy because you're not becoming the focus of a defense. So I think what Josh brings, not only from the physical standpoint and what he's done as an all-pro, he is going to make his teammates better, and they're going to smile for it. I mean, he potentially could just break this thing wide open, kind of like Gronkowski's done for the Patriots. Like, he could be that player that goes in there with a little bit of attitude, goes in there, he's got something to prove, because, yes, he does, and he's going to make everybody around him better. And again, I think it happens starting this weekend.
Sure. And the man that will be delivering the football to that room that is going to get a makeover this week with the return of Josh Gordon is Brian Hoyer. And what we're going to hear from here after a 20 of 50 performance, over 300 yards, we're going to talk about Brian Hoyer, why this team has had such a letdown after some of the big games.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, you know, there was a hangover. We had a great week of practice. We just got to come out and execute. I mean, it's as simple as that. You got to go out and you can't have negative plays, especially offensively. You can't be going backwards. You got to be going forwards. I know we weren't great on third down, but you can't be in third and long all the time. I mean, you're not going to put yourself in a situation to convert many, and it's just tough.
It is tough. The Browns found themselves in that situation a lot. They were 3 of 15 on third down, continue to be one of the least efficient third down offenses in the NFL, and that's why we talk about the ground game being so important, getting in those second and manageables, and then, of course, those third and manageables. And finally, Paul Kruger was asked about the game yesterday and said that, you know, their mentality was not where it needed to be.
They caught us with some fast tempo stuff, and, you know, I think our overall mentality was just not where it needed to be, so... You know, it's the type of league where if you come out in with a different mentality than you've been successful with, it's hard to get that momentum back. So that was really, you know, why I felt we could be a lot better next week.
Yeah, Paul Kruger there talking about the mentality, not where it needed to be. Now we're going to hear from Joe Haden why they came out flat and how the Houston Texans felt like they outplayed them.
We didn't come out with the same spunk. We can't come out like that. We can't come out flat. We're not a good enough team to play to not come out with that energy that we need.
So Paul Kruger says their mentality wasn't where it needed to be. Joe Haden says they were flat and didn't come out where they need to be. My question to you guys is why and how does this happen at home when you're riding the best winning streak and are in the best position, first place in 20 years? How does that happen?
Well, I think sometimes it's just one of those days. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Unfortunately, sometimes stuff like that happens. And again, Houston came out with a little bit more to prove. So I you don't like to hear that, but the reality of the game is sometimes the other teams, it's just their day. I mean, I don't know if you could argue at that point. It's just sometimes the other team, it's their day to win.
You're right, and it's so funny to hear you say that. It's just one of those days, and you would think making the money that a National Football League player makes and only having 16 opportunities, you would bring it all 16 times. And as we heard from the call, I believe it was Linwood earlier talking about not taking anything for granted, and there's people out there that work extremely hard for a living, and those people spend a lot of money to watch their football team at home, and you expect a great performance by them. But it's hard. It really is. A lot of things factor in. I think in this case, it was the time. You know, another bye week, you know, another a bit of time off, because I thought that Thursday night they played with that chip. They played, you heard Joe Haden talk about spunk. They played with high character, high intensity, like they felt like they had something to prove. And that was everything they did not play with yesterday. They felt like, hey, we're the team. We're 6-3. They're 4-5. We should be able to do this to them. They'll just take it. And they gave it to us physically, and that's hard to see.
I'm going
to
give you a case in point. Anybody watch the Denver Broncos yesterday?
Yes.
It's like telling me that Peyton Manning wasn't ready to play. I just think it happened to be the Peyton Manning's day and the Denver Broncos' day.
One team brings it, the other one doesn't bring it.
I know, but I think in my thought process about this, you have an you're playing at home, and you're in first place for the first time for this franchise in 20 years. There's no excuse to be flat. There's no excuse to not mentally be where you need to be. I know you had a little bit of a time off and everything, but you got to be. And is that coaches then? Is that coaches? Is that leaders? Because you would think that would have been as hyped up as this team has been for any game all year.
I'm not saying we don't have an immature team. We have so many veterans on this team. But for the guys that haven't been there and done it, again, I'm a firm believer that you've got to be there to experience it, to know what's involved in this. And winning, you know, for people, it's like the I go back to that.
It could put different kind of pressure on you.
Here's the deal. When we were in 07 and we had all those guys go to the Pro Bowl, sometimes you think it's going to be easy. All right, I've done it one time. We're going to do it again. Winning, oh, it's easy. We're going to do it. We can come out here. We're going to win because we can. It's not that easy. So I think it's a mindset. Yes, you'd like to think that every game you're going to come out there full of it and ready to roll, but that's not the reality of the NFL. The other team gets paid too. The other team has superstars. The other teams have coaches that spend just the same amount of time, if not more sometimes, than what the coaches and the facilities
are. Yeah, and I believe, you know, early in the season, I think identity was something that we struggled to grasp as the Cleveland Browns fans, and I think this team, both offensively and defensively. Well, we know what the identity of this football team is, and we also, too, after last Thursday night's game, was we understand the expectations now. And that's what I think they've done. They've created extremely high expectations because the few times they've blown out division opponents, teams that they've struggled against prototypically, they've blown out by 21 points or more, and now we as fans expect them to play that every week. And as you said, you get a Houston Texan team that comes in, they played fast, they played physical, and we could not match their tempo.
Well, the interesting thing, though, is that all week, every player I talked to said, now that we know what we're capable of, we've raised the bar and our expectations for ourselves. So it's just kind of, to me, there's a little bit of a disconnect, and I wonder if sometimes, you know, one thing I was curious to see how the team responded to is, you know, the Browns were always kind of the underdog. And then all of a sudden now you're the favorite, you're at home, and there's a pressure that now this game actually is sort of like a playoff game. It's not like it ends your season if you lose. It's not win or go home, but now every game has more ramifications than you maybe thought a game would have and how you respond to that.
I think we've been the benefactors, again, I've said this earlier in the show, that we've been the benefactor of some pretty bad football teams. And then we played a Bengals team, which, you know, right now they're in first place again, but they're a team that's either there or they're not there. I mean, they've proven that over the past few years. Sometimes they show up, other times they don't. I think the reality has just kind of hit us that, listen, there's some teams that we've got to play now that have a lot of talent and more talent than the teams we've played in the past. So we have now got to self-police ourselves. We have got to hold each other accountable and know that what we put out there on Sunday, it's not permissible. That we've got to step up, and that's what our job is right now, to self-police.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We're getting yelled at.
Get your break.
When we come back, we'll have the three-time Super Bowl champion Gerard Sherry for his three questions every Monday, talking about the Browns and the Texans. We'll be back with more CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR. Stop holding your-